Okay, we're beginning here in the middle of Tzadik Dalet and Aleph by the two dots. The Mishnah said, Ein Tohu Kibus, you only need to launder the area where the blood actually splashed on the beged. Menahane Milei, how do you know that that's the case? The Tanur Banan, because we have in the Braita, Yachol Nitaz Al Miksat Beged, Yehei Kol HaBeged Tohu Kibus, you would think that if it splashes onto the beged, that the entire beged would require laundering. Tama Lomar Asher Yizeh, it says that which was splattered. Lo Amarticha El Makom Dam Bilvad, that you only have to launder the location that has the dam on it. Because it says, Kol asher yigah bibsara yikdash, v'asher yizeh midama ala beged, asher yizeh aleha techabes. The place where the splattering, where the splash happened, that's where you need to do the kibus, b'makom kadosh, in the azara. Davar shu ra'ui lekabel tuma. The other qualification we saw in that listing was, it has to be a davar ha-ra'ui lekabel tuma. And as Rashi noted for us in the Mishnah, stama k'rab Yehuda. The Stam of the Mishnah is like Rabbi Huda, who says the qualification is Ra'oi lekabel tuma, are not actually capable of being mekabel tuma. That's the machloket that we saw at the end of yesterday's daf. Ra'oi lekibus, which was the next qualification in the Mishnah as to those items that require this type of laundering. The mute kli, that comes to exclude utensils, debar gredahu, because that's something that requires scraping and not laundering. Echad abeged, ve'echad asak, all these types of materials are under the requirement of kibus. Lememra, from our Mishnah you would conclude, or bar kibusu, that leather is able to be laundered. Because one of the qualifications we said before is ra'ur the kibus. And immediately afterwards in that list it says, echad abegev, echad asak, echad aor, tuunim kibus. Implying that the or does have the ability to have kibus. Viriminu, is that really true? We have in the Gemara in Shabbat, haita alav lishleshet. If it has some sort of soiling on it, Rashi over here says that haitala alakar shel beged, if there was on some sort of sheet or pillow that was made out of cloth, giul, something that was disgusting, repulsive, shel rok of saliva or shel tzoah or of feces, then it says there mekantcha b'smartut, allowed to wipe it off with a rag. And then Tosafot quotes the Aruch here, it says lishleshet is perish baruch. So what, tarnagolim, chicken feces. But either way, it's something that is disgusting, repulsive. And he wants to wipe it off of the pillow in the house on Shabbat. The problem is that you can't do laundering or cleaning on Shabbat. So here, if you take a smartut, a slightly damp rag, you're allowed to wipe it off. As long as you don't put pressure on it, you don't squeeze it. Haita shel or, on the other hand, if it was made out of leather, the pillowcase, or the sheet over here, or the cover, you can pour water on it until it disappears. So from here, it sounds like the or doesn't have a din of kibus, and that's why you're allowed to use water by the leather, as opposed to the beged, where the cloth, that you have to use a smartut, the rag, without water, because it would be deemed kibus. But that implies, unlike our Mishnah, that or, leather, does not have a din in kibus. As to whether or has a din in kibus or not. The Tanya have a braita, a beged, basak, mechabsan. When it comes to cloth and to sackcloth, mechabsan. You have a requirement of kibus based on the pasuk that when the dam chatat splashes on it, you require kibus. Hakliva or, utensils and leather, migardo. You scrape them off. You don't have to launder it because it's not under the gzerat ha-katuv. You just have to remove the dam chatat. And therefore, you scrape it off, and you are done. Achemim omrim, they divide it slightly differently, and they say, abeg v'asak v'or, the cloth, sackcloth, and the leather, mechabsan, they all get laundered, v'akli migardo. On the other hand, a utensil gets scraped down. So the Acherim are going to be the authors of our Mishnah, who say that or is a bar kibus, and the Chachamim are going to be the author of that position in Shabbat that separates between beged and or, where it seems like Ora doesn't have a din in kibus. Come on, Azla. Ha Adama Rav Chiya Bar Ashi. Who does this follow? That which Rav Chiya Bar Ashi said. Zimnin Sagiin Habakamina Kamei Derav. Many times I was by Rav. Bishach Shiche Le Misane B'mayo. And I used to either dab or shake his shoes with water. So there is some sort of cleansing that's going on over here with the shoes. So come on. Who's that like? Kirabonan. That follows the Rabbanan's position that there is no din of kibus by or by leather. And therefore you're allowed to put the water on the shoes to cleanse them on Shabbat. Amar Rava. Umi ika laman damar or lav bar kibusu. Can there really ever be a tano or a position that believes that leather isn't subject to cleaning or to laundering? Vaktiv. Don't you have a problem because the pasuk explicitly says by tzarat, va beget, o ashti, o erev, Okokli or Ashirti Chabes. So over there, these are the types of items that can get Sarat, Sarat HaBeged. That includes the Sheti and the Erev. Those are the types of weave, whether it's the cross weave or those that are put on the loom, or any leather utensil. So it's Semenu Pishtim, wool and linen, and leather are all included. This, and it says Ashirti Chabes that you will launder. Elamarava Kra Umatnitin Berakin. The Pasuk and the Mishnah is speaking about soft leather. So our Mishnah here and the Pasuk, where it says it can be laundered, it's speaking about soft leather. Ki plige, the machlok between the Chachamim and the Acherim is bekashin, when you have hard leather. Vahama Rav Chia, Zimin Saigin, Havikamina Kameh Derav, Shachshichale Misanei B'mayim. So what are you going to do about that situation where Rav Chia says that he was in front of Rav and he used to clean his shoes on Shabbat? So either it is bekashin ukirabanan, that's going to be a case of hard leather. Shoes are made out of the harder leather. And it's going to follow the position of the Rabbanan who say there's no kibbutz by hard leather. Hadar amra Rava lav milti. Then Rava retracts his position over here and he says that which I said is incorrect. Da amre neku neimale the kra dechi ketivan virakin ketivan. How can we go ahead and tell the pasuk that the only time it's meaningful is in a case where it's soft leather? The pasuk itself never defines what type of leather. It just says klior. So that seems to be a generic statement about leather, irrespective of whether it's hard or soft leather. It seems that it's subject to kibbutz. And where do we have the right to come along and say that when it speaks about klior, it's only speaking about soft leather? And therefore he says, couldn't it be, milo askinan, can't the pasuk be a case that we're speaking about bikli akslagia? And you can see in the sheet of mekubetz, yud, that there are two other alternate girsaot over here. And you can see on the side in the Mesorah Tashaz, he brings from the Oruch, that he translates this as, perush kelim shel or kashin v'avin. These are utensils made out of leather, but hard leather that is thick. And that's what these kli akslagia are. Although the word in the Oruch is closer to what's brought in the Shita Mekubetzet, or the pronunciation that's brought in the Shita Mekubetzet. Rashi just says it's or shaluk v'kasheh. That was cooked, that is very hard, but not necessarily like the Oruch that says that it is a kli. It seems to be some hard piece of leather that's used for whatever purpose it is, that it was some sort of significant item, whether it was decorative in nature or they used to write on it. But this was a significant and hard piece of leather. Habayim midinat hayam, that come from overseas. V'kama rachmana libayi kibbutz. And the pasuk says that leather requires kibbutz. So it says that even by hard leather, there is a requirement of kibbutz. So my explanation of the pasuk can't be such. Hello, I'm a Rava. So Rava now brings a new solution to the problem. Tzarat kevin demigufei kaparcha. Since the tzarat bursts forth from within the leather, it's mechalchalalei. It softens it or bubbles it up. Meshavelei rach. And it takes hard leather and turns it into being soft. So in the end, he doesn't really abandon completely this idea that there's a difference between soft and hard. He just points out that sometimes even hard leather can be turned soft because of the circumstance. And so in the case of the tzarat breaking out or emerging on the beged softens up leather, and therefore it's subject to kibbutz. So then that would mean also that our Mishnah is speaking about soft leather, and the machlok between the Acherim and the Rabbanan is by hard leather, and the Mishnah in Shabbat is speaking about hard leather, like the Shita of the Chachamim. But Amar Rava, ikashali hakashali. But if I have a question or there's an issue, this is the issue that I would raise. Karim v'kistot derakininu. We speak about pillows and comforters or mattresses. Those are things that are soft. Vitnan. And we have a Mishnah that says, haitashel or, if those items, the karim v'kistot, were made out of leather, you can put water on it until it disappears. So that Mishnah in Shabbat seems to indicate, even when we're speaking about karim v'kistot, which are softer items, you don't use hard leather for them, and yet it's saying that you can launder them on Shabbat. Elamarava kol kibbutz the late kiskus lo shmei kibbutz. Any kibbutz that does not have a kiskus along with it, which the Rashi over here translates as mishavshet tzidozeh tzidozeh, when you rub them together, tederech hamichabes bigadim, like those that launder clothing, or chizabeg b'shtei adav mishavshet, he holds the clothing in his hands and rubs it together, like you see them processing laundry in the days before the washing machine, that they used to rub the clothing together in order to get out the stains, get out those things that are in it. So without the kiskus, there's no din of kibbutz. So now you have a case by the leather, even though it's soft, it's not considered to be kibbutz until you actually rub it together. Therefore, you can put water on it, even if it is soft, and it will not be classified as kibbutz. So now that Rava makes the distinction between kiskus, which is considered to be laundering, and shikshuch, which is not considered to be laundering, then the Gemara says, what are we going to do with that position? Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, zimnit sagina v'kamina kamei derav. Many times I was before Rav, v'shachshichele misanei b'mayo. And then I used to dab or shake his shoes with water. Shikshuch in, aval kibbutz lo. Shikshuch is distinct from kiskus, and therefore you were only allowed to do shikshuch by the shoes, but not kibbutz or not kiskus by the shoes. So ibarakin, if it's soft leather shoes, then everybody would say that. Ibikashin, if they're hard leather shoes, ukeacherim, then it's like the acherim who think that there is kibbutz even by hard leather, and that's why you can only do shikshuch, and you can't do kiskus or kibbutz. It says yachi beged nami. So if that's the case, that you don't have laundering, there's no din of kibbutz until you do kiskus, why don't you say the same thing by a cloth beged? Because over there he said you can only wipe it off with a smartut. You can't use water at all. But if you're telling me that water in of itself is not a problem of kibbutz, you need kiskus, then why can't you do the same thing you do by the leather? Pour the water on until it's removed. Beged, shriyato, zehu kibbutzo. Soaking it is the laundering of the beged. Even without the additional rubbing or friction, it still is classified as being laundering. V'roba l'tame, and roba's l'shitato, doma roba, zarak sudar l'mayim, chayav. If you throw a handkerchief or a turban, some piece of cloth, into water on Shabbat, you are chayav. Zarak pishtan l'mayim, throw flax into the water, or the Rashi has a girsa of zera pishtan, you throw in seeds of flax into the water, chayav. Bishlamas sudar, by sudar we understand what the problem is, avad kibbutz, because you're doing laundering. And there you see that Rava believes that shriyato, just the soaking of it in the water itself, is classified as kibbutz. El zera pishtan, my taima. When it comes to the pishtan, what's the problem there? It takes root or sprouts in the water. What's unique about linen? Then even if you threw in barley seeds or wheat seeds, you should have this wheat kernel, barley seeds or wheat kernels, you should have the same problem. Mara says it's not a problem of tzomeach, a problem of planting or that it's going to sprout. Rather, that the pishtan has with mucus in it, which is expunged when it's soaked in the water, which causes them, as Rashi say, to bind together inside of the water. Where it says, if that's a problem by the flax seeds, then if shlachim nami, unprocessed hides, have the same thing. If you put them in water, then also from them emerges some sort of mucus. Although if you look in the Balei Tosafot, he brings Harbeinu Chaim Garis shichlayim, that it's being about cress rather than leather or hide, which would make more sense, because that would be something that's parallel to the pishtan, versus the hides, which don't seem to have any correlation or any similarity to the zera pishtan. Hatam kavit lisha. Now the case of the zera pishtan, it simulates the effect of kneading, which is a binding something together. But the zera pishtan, the mucus that's expelled from these seeds, then binds them together to make it into a more doughy type substance, and therefore it's a derivative of lisha. By the hides, yes, it does expunge this type of mucusy material, but that doesn't cause them then to be bound together. And the fact that the Gemara now moves away from the problem being a problem of Zriah, that's indicative of the fact that if you put these items into water on Shabbat, that you would not be Chayav for Zriah. Because you see here, Rava is focused on the fact that the Pishtan is problematic because of Lisha, and not because of Zriah. Because had it been a problem of Zriah, he would have mentioned Chitei and Sari as well. Despite that fact, the Rambam does paskin that putting these kernels into water is a problem. That might depend on how long you're putting them in the water for. If you're just soaking them in the water to clean them or for a short duration, maybe there it's not a problem of Zriah. Whereas if you leave them in the water a significant amount of time so that they can sprout or they have time to sprout, then maybe there is an issue of Zriah when you place them into the water. So Doresh Rava. Then Rava went in public and was Doresh Halacha. Mutar the chabes min al b'Shabbat. One can launder a shoe on Shabbat. Amar le Rav Papa the Rava. After the shiur was over, Rav Papa says to Rava, "Amar Rav Chiya by Ashi zimnin sagin ha'ave kamina kamei derav shachshicha le misane b'mayo." Says that I was numerous times in front of Rav, and I used to dab or shake his shoes with water. Shichshuchin, shichshuch was allowed. Dabbing was allowed. Aval kibbutz lo. Nobody thinks that laundering the shoe was permissible. So other uki Rava amur ale. So Rava then got back up and put up a spokesperson, person who was the translator or the one that gave over the shear when he told them what to say, the darash. And then he was darash in public, dvarim shamarti livnechem ta'utem biyadi. Those things that I said before were a mistake. Baram kach amru. This is the right halacha with regards to shoes, which is shichshuch mutar, dabbing is okay, kibus asur. Laundering is problematic. And by leather, as we noted by Rava before, laundering is problematic when there's water and when there's kiskus, when there's some sort of rubbing. And obviously this incident with Rava has to take place before his statement earlier about the issues of kiskus, because there already he's clear on this matter that we only allow shichshuch by the shoes and we don't allow kibus by the shoes. So that means that this incident took place first, and then his statement that we saw earlier in the Gemara was a statement only after he had been corrected by Rav Papa in this situation. Otherwise, you'd have to argue that he actually changed his mind over here, and he was being oser, something that he was not oser before, and that would indicate that there might be an iser drabanan with regards to the shoes, even though there's no problem in the oraita of kibbutz. And therefore, in summary, according to Rava, any soft leather has a problem of laundering. That laundering is only precipitated when you have water and kiskus and the rubbing together. By Orot Kashim, by the harder leather, you have the machloke between the Chachamim and the Acherim, where the Acherim say there is a problem of kibus. There's the Pasuk by Nigaim, where even though it's speaking about hard leather, there because the Nigaim emerge, they cause a softening of the leather, and that's why it's subject to the din of kibus. And then by the shoes, you're allowed to do shichshuch, which is dabbing, you're not allowed to do laundering or kibus on them, so that would follow either the divrei hakol if they were soft leather, or it'd be, if it was hard leather, it'd be following the position of the acherim. On the other hand, by a beged or a cloth, there's a problem simply by putting water on it, because shriyato, the soaking of it, is the equivalent of laundering. And the Rabbeinu Tam in other places in Shas says that that's limited to water, that the din of libun or kibus is only associated with water, whereas other Rishonim believe that it can apply to other liquids, not just to water. Then it says a kibus b'makom kadosh. Another one of the qualifying things is that you have to do the kibus in a place that is kadosh, meaning in the azara. How do you know that's the case? Because the pasuk says the Tan Rabbanan techabes b'makom kadosh. That's the end of the pasuk that speaks about the dam chatat that sprinkled or sprayed onto the beged. Shvirat kli cheres minayin. How do I know that also has application to the breaking of a kli cheres? Tamalomar uchli cheres asher tuvushal bo. So that's the next pasuk, which has a vav chibur. It says uchli cheres asher tuvushal bo yishaver, and the vav chibur connects it back to the makom kadosh. Miriko shtifa b'kli nechoshet minayin. How do I know that the mirika and shtifa of the copper utensils also require be done by Zerah Makom Kadosh? Tamalomar v'im b'kli nechoshet bushala umorak v'shutaf b'mayim. So once again, there is a vav chibur to the kli cheres that was before it, and the kli cheres has a vav that connects it back to the Makom Kadosh of the beged. So all of them are juxtaposed to each other with a vav chibur. Never Makom Kadosh modifies the beged asher yizeh aleha plus the kli cheres asher tibushal bo and the kli nechoshet bushala. The end of the Mishnah says, Zechomer v'chatat. So this we saw at the end of the Mishnah where Rashi said that the din of kvisat beged, when the dam chatat splashes onto a beged, is uniquely associated with the chatat, not true by other kochei kodoshim. We discussed yesterday, and we'll discuss again tomorrow, the sheet of the Rambam, that that distinction also applies to the breaking of a kli cheres. The Gemara says, v'tuleka, there are no other distinctions between a chatat and kochei kodoshim. Vaika, shenichnas dama lifnai v'lifnim. And when it comes to a chatat, it's a korban that is brought in the heichal, where there's azot dam in the heichal and the kodshei kodashim. The chatot apnimiyot are a unique form of korban. The chatat that is allowed to have its dam brought into the heichal. There's no other korban like that. When it says, we're speaking about chatot achitzonot. It's being compared or contrasted with chatot that belong in the mizbeach chitzon. And there you're not allowed to bring the blood into the heichal. And so the distinction, or the unique distinction, is this issue of kibbutz beged. Sheim nechnas dama lifnai v'lifnim psula. What about the fact that if you take dama chatat into the heichal, when you're chatot achitzonot, it's posel the korban, which is uniquely associated with the chatat. It's not true of other kochei kodashim. It says, k'Rabbi Akiva, like we saw the sheet of Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah before, dama kol damim shenechnasu leheichal, lechaper psula. That's not uniquely associated with the chatat, because Rabbi Akiva believes that it is equal application to any dam that's brought in there, lechaper. The korban is pasul when the dam is taken into the echal. What about the fact that they are mechaper on on a violation of Mishogeg, unintentional violation of a Chiyuv Karet, which is a significant kapara. Talking about a Chatat, the Shmiat Kol, speaking about a Kurban Olevi Yoreid, of Shmiat Kol that does not involve Karet. And so therefore we're speaking about a Chatat that doesn't have that distinction or unique aspect of it that it is Mechaper of Shilgegei Karet. Shekein Tuna Arba Matnot. What about the fact that it requires 4 Matnot Dam on the Mizbeach? It says, Ki Rabbi Yishmael. The other Kodesh HaKodeshim requires 2 Shein Arba. But according to Rabbi Yishmael, we saw earlier in the Masechta, in Ezu Mekoman, Damar, Kol Adamim Tunim Dalet Matanot. All blood requires Dalet Matanot, even when there's 2 Shein Arba. You have to make sure that the 2 go to the 2 different walls over there. So there are 4 Matanot. Bili Tamech, wait a minute, Vaika Karen. The difference between a Chatat is that the blood has to go on the Karen itself, not just onto the walls of Mizbeach, or below the Chuta Sikra. Haika etzba, the matnot dam of a chatat are done with a finger, whereas for other kodshei kodeshim, they're done through zrika from a utensil. Haika chuda, that has to be placed, at least according to one of the deot, on the actual edge point of the keren. And again, those are mutually exclusive positions, but the Gemara always brings them together, because either you require keren, or you cry, or chuda, but either one of those would be distinct or unique associated with a chatat, and not true of other kodshei kodeshim, as well as the issue of etzba. Elchad mitrei utvat ochumrei nakat brings 1 or 2 or 3, one of many different possible differentiations, but here it's speaking about the differentiations that are relevant in this Mishnah, and that is the kibbutz beged, and possibly according to the Rambam, even the shvirat klicheres, which is uniquely associated with the chatat, the context of what is spoken about in this Mishnah. So it's not giving you an exhaustive list, it's just giving a distinction that is true in this Mishnah, but it's one of many other distinctions between a chatat and kodshei kodeshim. Over here, the Baal Tosfot spent time on trying to understand when the Mishnah says zochomer, when do we take it literally to say that this is the only differentials between these two items? Or when do we take it lavdaf, when are we less rigid about saying zochomer means just these items, but rather it's a one of many items like we do over here? So the Baal Tosfot tried to work out, is there a consistent way to look at that throughout Shas? And maybe it depends on Girsaot that we have in different Gemaras. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Dalet Amud Bet.